Today is the memorial of St. Agatha, Virgin, and Martyr, one of the early martyrs of the Church in the canon of our of the Holy Mass and the Roman canon. First Eucharistic prayer, we remember her name, and she's one of the great early saints who suffered in those centuries of martyrdom, and really the third century. She died in 251. And she was from Sicily and from noble parents, and she was very beautiful. And the governor of that area of Sicily, Quintianus, his name, was in love with her because of her nobility and her beauty. And she got word of this, and so she hid herself from him. And around that time, Decius, the Roman emperor, was issued an edict against the Christians. And so Quintianus used that as a ruse to find her and arrest her and bring her and to force her to marry him. And so he sent his men to find her, and they found her. And so he took her to Catania, the eastern, southeastern part of Sicily, where he was ruling, and he put her into a brothel run by a woman named Aphrodisia and her daughters, and they, for a whole month, with continual temptations to impurity, tried to induce her to lose her chastity and make her more succumb to give in to Quintianus. But after the month, she prevailed over all the temptations through, of course, deep prayer and faithfulness to our Lord, and her dedication to her virginity, which she wanted to maintain for our Lord. And so Quintianus found out that she didn't give in to any of the temptations. So he took her and brought her before him and sort of mocked her Christian faith. How could you give up your nobility and your freedom for to be a Christian? And she said, well, there's no more greater nobility, no more greater freedom than to be a servant of Jesus Christ. And she kind of put before him the futility of his idolatry, where he was worshiping the Greek gods, and she said, well, would you like to marry a prostitute like Venus? Or would you like to be like Jupiter, who was an incestuous adulterer? And for that counsel, he had her beaten and thrown in prison. And then the next day brought before him again and asked her if she wanted to save her life. And she said, God is my life and my salvation. So he tortured her again. And seeing that she didn't change through the torture, he had her breasts slashed and cut off and thrown in prison and to die from her wounds. But that night, St. Peter appeared to her and healed all her wounds and all her pain, and a great light appeared in the cell, and the guards were so terrified by the light they ran away and left her cell door open, which she could have escaped, and the other prisoners urged her to escape, but she refused, and she wanted to die a martyr. So the next day, Quintianus realized that she was all cured, and he was more irritated by that, and devised some new tortures for her and had her rolled over broken tiles and burning coals, and that actually caused her death. So she thanked God before she died for giving her the strength to endure all these tortures, and she commended her soul to God. So she maintained her chastity and for our Lord, and we can think of the importance of chastity a little bit on her feast, remembering the traditional means of maintaining chastity, the prayer and the sacraments, prayer to Our Lady, devotion to Our Lady, prayer in times of temptation, especially in the very beginning of temptations, and the sacraments, which give us power that we don't have, frequent confession, devout confession, good holy confessions, where we humble ourselves and then we receive power and grace and strength to overcome temptation. In the Holy Eucharist, too, where we unite ourselves to our Lord, the bread of angels, and he gives us that help and strength again that we don't have, that we need to live this supernatural life of chastity. But apart from prayer and sacraments, there's the part that we have to play, which is greatly with the means of avoiding the occasions of sin. We can underline that three times, avoiding the occasions of sin, all the occasions which we see are surrounding us in this day and age. Avoiding occasions of sin, number one thing that we need to do. And if we do that, then we obtain the reward. We reward the reward of God's abundant grace, and we see that we've made our efforts. And that involves all the big and the small occasions of sin, the big and the small, custody of the eyes, avoiding people, places, things, all those things that are temptations and triggers to unchastity. And we need to be faithful to that. And that is perhaps is the more difficult thing. You know, people can pray and can go to the sacraments and find that kind of an easy thing. But when it comes to avoiding the occasions, those flirtation, those attachments to occasions that we see, that can many times be the more difficult thing. But our Lord said we need to, if it was in our eyes or our hands are the cause of our sins, we need to cut them off or gouge them out, so to speak, not to mutilate our body, but to mutilate our temptations, mutilate the things that are really the things that ensnare us and that drag us and pull us to sin. We need to cut them off, meaning avoid them completely as much as we possibly can. To cut them out, root them out, that's what our Lord is advising us. And when we find that, then when we do that, then we find the life of chastity much easier for us psychologically, but also supernaturally, because God rewards that effort to avoid all occasions of sin. That's then we receive the final reward and victory and freedom. And so let us focus on that, perhaps in addition to our prayer and sacraments, to avoid all occasions of sin and to stay faithful to our Lord, invoking the help of Saint Agatha and other saints who are noted for their chastity.